Amen. Man, what an honor it is to be here this morning to speak to you guys. And it's a change of pace for me. I'm not, usually I have a guitar between me and you or a set of drums or something. And now it's just, it's all over. Here we go, right? And so, man, I'm excited. And this morning, I just want to tell you one of my favorite stories. And even when I was a kid, it was probably one of the first stories I ever heard as a child, and just, man, it's resonated with me. And as I've lived my life till now, to where I am today, I can see why. And I hope this morning, as I share a little bit of Elijah's story and a little bit of my story, that we're all going to go somewhere this morning. Amen? Amen. And so, and even though the story is great and Elijah's entire life, that's what I want to focus on. Not just the story, but the man in the story is what I want to focus on. And that's the truth. We all have stories, right? We all have lived life from birth to where we are today. We all have stories. We all have significant markers in our life that define who we are, right? I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was sitting at First Baptist Church in Shallow Water on a Friday night when God called me to the ministry during the middle of worship, saying, "That's what you're supposed to do." I mean, I can tell you exactly where I was sitting in that room. I can tell you every detail of getting married. Even though I forgot what I was about to say, I can tell you every detail of where I was, all of it. I mean, I remember when Mallory walked through the doors and I saw her for the first time. I mean, I remember that. I remember Cambry, my oldest, her being born. I remember seeing that, and I'll never forget it. There's significant moments in my life that has shaped who I am, that God has put in my life, the stories, the weaving together, who has shaped who I am. And he's continuing to weave my story and your life, my life, as we walk through it. Amen? And so this particular story this morning, it's about faith. It's about faith. The main character of this story, Elijah, I want to focus on his life story and the impact he had on his world and the world that God put him in at that time in that place. So Elijah was, as Brad was saying, he was one of the prophets, one of the first prophets. And just to give you kind of a timeline of where he was in the Bible, everybody remember the story of David and Goliath, and about from that story of David and Goliath, and about 75 years from then, that's when Elijah kind of shows up as a prophet during the time of King Ahab and the false god of Baal, who we're going to talk about this morning. He was a prophet during the time of the first kings. And we don't know a lot about Elijah before he just shows up on ready and challenges King Ahab. But what we do know, but what he does during that time, we know is significant. It's significant for everyone, even you and me. And one of the more well-known stories of Elijah, and what I'm going to talk about this morning, is his contest with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So a little bit of backstory before we get into. So the king at that time has turned Israel away from God and were worshiping the idol god Baal. First thing Elijah does, he goes and meets the king and tells him of his evil ways and challenges him to a contest. Whose God is real? So we're going to pick up, we're going to read starting in 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to do a little bit of reading this morning, amen? I mean, we're going to read the whole story. Because the Bible tells it a whole lot better than I would, all right? we're going to start in verse 18 as well. And this is Elijah talking to King Ahab. 1 Kings 18, chapter 18, verse 18. It says, "I have made no trouble for Israel." Elijah replied, "You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the command of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel along with 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver? hobbling between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar and not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by setting fire to the wood. Or the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. All right, so now we've got a bet. We've got a wager, right? Elijah telling the prophets of Baal, you get a bull, I'm going to get a bull. You set it on your altar, I'll set it on my altar. Don't set it on fire, but hey, we're going to call on God and say, whoever sets their altar on fire, that's the true God. And did you catch how confident Elijah was? Elijah is confident in the outcome, and nonetheless, he believes that the glory of God is going to appear in that moment. Let's keep reading. Verse 25. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it. Call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. And about noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed. For surely he is a god. See, I really believe Elijah was the first heckler. The very first. Perhaps he is daydreaming or relieving himself. That's pretty funny, right? Or maybe he is away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be wakened. So they shouted louder, and following their normal customs, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, and no response. And so the prophets of Baal were acting like fools, trying to get their God, their false God that we know, but they believed him, and they were trying to get their altar to light. And Elijah, think about it. Elijah, one man up against 450, and he's the one mocking them. That's some confidence, right? That's some faith. And then on top of that, heckling him. I just laugh at that part every time. Your God's relieving himself. He's too busy. Too busy. All right, now Elijah's my turn. Verse 30. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They all crowded around him, and as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down, he took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill your large jars with water, and pour the water over the offering and the wood. After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did as he said. And the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. And at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me to these people. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, he is God. Then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Yes! Right? He just said, God, show them who you are. And boom, in an instant, fire came down from heaven. Victory was his. There was no fear of it not happening. There was no lack of confidence. The victory was his. And you know what? It always was. It always was. The victory was always his to begin with. And you know what? Elijah knew that too. Elijah knew that too. Elijah knew so well that he even had water poured out over it. Not once, not twice, but three times. I mean, you can't light wet wood, right? But I bet if we walked outside with a bunch of faith like Elijah did, God would send down fire. Amen? Even with it all wet and raining. Amen for that, though, God. We're happy for the moisture. So a man like Elijah, a man like Elijah to place a contest, to place a bet between their God and our God, to stand up to the king, to mock the Baal prophets, to pour water on his sacrifice, and to just simply pray takes a lot of something, right? Takes a lot of you know what. It takes, I mean, again, one of me act like it was, if I was Elijah and you were the prophets of Baal, you times four. There's about roughly 100 in here. 400. And then Elijah lacking no faith, lacking no confidence. He knew that God was going to provide. So what is it? It takes a lot of something. It takes faith. Unwavering, unquestioning, no doubt. Faith. And that's a man I want to be like. How about you? What kind of a man do you want to be like? One that dances around an altar, hoping and crying, God, Baal, please come light our fire. We don't know what's going to happen. Or do you just want to say, God, you're the God. Show them who you are. Man, I just got chilled myself. One that can call down the power of God, see the power of God in any circumstance, and seeing miraculous things happen to show the glory of the Lord. Man, that's a man I want to be like. So what is faith? So we've got a few definitions up here. This is a Webster definition. All right, a faith, just kind of faith that we're talking about. Allegiance to duty or person, belief and trust in and loyalty to God, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion, firm belief in something for which there is no proof, complete trust. Okay, so that's the Webster's definition. Now, the Bible has a definition as well in Hebrews 11. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And then we have a JBV version, the Josh Berger version, the way that just makes me understand a little bit more. It's faith is moving forward even in the face of doubt. Let me say that again. Faith is moving forward even in the face of doubt. Even when you don't know what's up next, what's coming up next, where I'm going. And so to explain this, I'm not going to do this with you guys, but I taught this at Catalyst a couple months ago. And what I did, I had a student come up. We got on stage. I blindfolded him. And I said, listen, you're going to do exactly what I tell you. All right? If I tell you to go left, you're going to go left. If I tell you to go right, you're going to go right. If I tell you to jump, you're going to jump. Okay, if I tell you to jump off the stage, you're going to jump off the stage, all right? I didn't tell him to do that because he really could have really hurt himself. And so just to exercise and to show, to kind of help explain what faith is. So we got up there and I was telling him, okay, listen, this is what you got to do. You've got to do exactly what I say. Without question, without thinking, just you've got to do it. Don't second guess yourself. Just do it. Okay, so we get up there, and I'm telling him, all right, go left, go right, go forward. Whoa, wait, you're off to the stage. And he was like 10 feet away, but he was listening. He like stopped. And at one point, Anthony was helping me, and we got a chair. And he didn't know that we had a chair. And at one point, I was going to tell him to sit down real fast. And he didn't know we had a chair for him to sit down in or anything. So Anthony was following him along with the chair. And I said, okay, sit down. And without question, without even some doubt, he sat right down. And man, I was surprised, really, because I don't know. I was thinking, I don't even know if I could do that. That's scary. Because he was blindfolded. He couldn't see what he was doing, what was going on. He was just trusting me. He was just trusting my words, my voice. Okay, go left, go right, go forward, back up. All right, now sit down. Boom, he did it. That's what faith is. Even though we can't see what's going on, but we're hearing the voice. We're hearing the voice of God, and hey, we're going to, okay, you told me to go left. Okay, I'm going to go left. Oh, go forward a little bit. Okay, I'm going to go. Without question, even though I might be doubting, even though I might be a little scared, I'm going to keep going. Trust, belief, faith. We keep moving forward when we might doubt. Okay, so I want to share a little bit about my story. So I've got a picture of my family I want to show. I forget we're in a group of men this morning. At youth, we got a lot of awes, but that's not going to happen with guys. So that's my wife, Mallory. We'll be married 10 years in July. And yeah, I'm excited about that too. Cambry, my oldest daughter, she's on the right. She's 7 years old. We had her in 2011. And then we have Bear with the glasses in Mallory's lap. He's my middle child. He's 3 and he'll be 4 in August. And then we have Bridger. He'll be 1, 2 in August as well. Funny story. I mean, people always ask us, are they twins, Bridger and Bear? Because Bear, he's really small for his age. And Bridger is the exact opposite. He's real big for his age. So they're like twins. And man, what a life, a journey that I've been on, that I feel like I've been on since not just being married, but really just out of high school. But, you know, Mallory and I were in the ministry at several churches when we were first married. And then we had Cambry when we were living in Floydada. And then we moved off for a little bit. And man, things were clicking. We had some issues with fertility. We really were told that we weren't going to be able to have kids again. This was after Cambry. And now you can see two little miracles right there. Amen. And so we were told that, I mean, I had some issues that I had to deal with. Mallory had issues she had to deal with. And, you know, we were happy. It was upsetting, but we were at a point where we were going to keep trying because we really believed God was telling us that we were going to have another one. And I can tell you another time, a significant moment in my life where we were driving down a road in Lubbock where God specifically told Mallory, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Bear, and he's going to be brave and strong. You know, and that was 2 years before he was born. And so we just kept pursuing because we hung on to that word that God gave her. And so, but we had issues, and then lo and behold, we find out we're pregnant, or Mallory's pregnant. We're not. I'm not. She was. And found out she was pregnant. We decided from where we were to move back to Plainview to start coming to church here. Mallory came here when she was in college, and we really believed this is where God was leading us 4 years ago. And Mallory is pregnant with Bear, and man, life was going great. We moved back up here, kind of switched careers, and man, it was a little tough, but we knew we were on the right path. We knew we were where we were supposed to be and where we were going. We were tracking with God. Amen? You know what I mean? We were tracking. And then, so Bear was born, and life changed dramatically for me and for Mallory and I. And so right when Bear was born, he was blue, and he wasn't able to breathe on his own. And I can't remember which picture's first, but this was our view of Bear for 4 weeks. You know, I talk about this all the time, but Mallory and I were talking about it last night, actually, and Bear, she could tell you, it's like a movie for her. She could tell you every little detail of the whole 4 weeks we were there. We were talking about the first day or two that we were there. We got a call. This is one of the scariest moments because I didn't, I mean, I was a dad of a newborn boy. I didn't know what was going on. And there's still some things we still don't know what's going on with Bear, but he's alive. Amen. That's good. That always makes me happy. And so, anyway, within the first 18 hours of Bear being born, we realized that he had some serious issues. Not only was he not breathing on his own, but without getting into medical jargon or anything, he had a collapsed lung within 18 hours and wasn't able to breathe. And so they put him on the jet, the ventilator. I mean, he was on life support for 2 weeks. He was sedated, and it was breathing for him. And we got another picture of Bear. Thing. Yeah, that's just all the machines that was keeping him alive. And he's alive. He's alive. And we don't know exactly everything that's gone on and what's happened with Bear, but we do know this. I mean, he did have that was when he finally woke up from sedation, the first time he opened his eyes. And that was about 3 weeks after he was born. And I think the last picture is him smiling. Yeah. And I mean, him almost dying twice. He had he went into kidney failure once, and then the lack of oxygen at another point. But why am I telling you this? That's not Elijah, you know. But why am I telling you this? With Bear's life, I can tell you that there has been miracles throughout his entire life. And he's only three. And man, he's got more of a testimony than anybody I've ever known, really. And he doesn't even know it yet, you know, because God's had his hand. I remember Pastor Mark and Kathy coming to the hospital and praying with Mallory and I. And I could see my faith rise just a little bit. And I remember at that time, I was in life group with Brad, and I remember walking through. We were just about to walk into the NICU, and I get a text from Brad saying, "Hey, we're praying for you." And even before I read the text, I felt this overwhelming peace come on me. This is one of the first times I really felt the Spirit. And before I even read the text, there was a peace. And then I read it, and then my faith, you know, a little bit more. You know, and it's even in those tough moments of not knowing what's ahead, what's in front of me, even though I can't see, I don't know what the outcome is, but I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep the faith. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep going. Pastor Miles Sweeney had said this in one of our staff developments, all things are God sent or God used. Amen. God can use anything for his glory. God sent or God used. And I don't believe God planned for Bear to go through that. I don't believe that. His heart hurt for his child. But I do believe that God used those events in his life, in my life, in Mallory's life for his glory. I do believe that for a number of reasons. As I was just saying, Bear's testimony, one day he's going to be able to tell people about that, about where he was and the miracles that is continuing to happen in his life as he is growing. God's provision. He used that event for his glory, God's provision. And in my faith, me sharing with you now, why did Bear go through that? Well, maybe somebody needs to hear that today. Maybe God needs to, maybe you guys, somebody needs to see where I've been and how I got through it. Or how I'm getting through it, I'll say that. You know, it's a daily thing about that. James 2:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith," what? "Produces perseverance." Say that, perseverance. The testing of your faith. Again, I don't believe God planned for it, but man, did he use it. And isn't he getting all the glory for it? Of course, I wouldn't have chosen this. I wouldn't have chosen that for Bear or Mallory or anybody. But God used it to build my faith, among other things. He and if you know Bear, if you've ever been in contact with him or talked to him, I mean, you can see sometimes he's a grump, but other times he's full of joy. He is full of joy. He'll just happy, and as long as he has his DVDs, he's ready to play. It's one of his things right now. He loves playing with DVDs, so we give him all the old ones that we can't use anymore. But he's just happy. He's just happy, even though he doesn't know that part of his life. He doesn't know. He doesn't get it. But, man, the joy that he has on his face in the morning and when, I mean, he's asking, I want to go to the purple room, which is his classroom in Kid City. You know, he loves going to there. I mean, he's a walking, talking miracle. Amen? And it wasn't coincidence that all that happened. It wasn't coincidence that the fireball from heaven came down and lit the altar. It wasn't coincidence, right? It didn't just happen to come down at the exact right moment. It was God's provision. It's not coincidence. It's God's provision. It wasn't coincidence that Bear survived. It was God's provision. It wasn't, I mean, going through something like that can really put a toll, or it could put some strain on your marriage. Amen? I can attest to that. But it wasn't coincidence or happenstance that my marriage didn't fall apart. No, it was God's provision. No, we're gonna lead you through this. It's not coincidence for some of you guys, whoever, from whatever, you name it, name the addiction. It's not coincidence that you're free from it. No, you kept moving forward. God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if I can give it up. No, you're just going to keep walking forward in the face of doubt. It's not coincidence that you're free from it. It's God's provision from saving you from it. The list can go on and on, but the truth is that when we faithfully seek after God, let me back up. The list can go on and on, but the truth is that we faithfully seek after God and turn away from the old and embrace the new. We step into God's provision. So what is faith? It's moving forward, even in the face of doubt. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, God. I don't know what's going on or what lies ahead, but you know what? You're going to keep providing, and I'm going to keep walking forward. And so that's a mindset. That's a mind shift. You know, Romans 12:2, don't conform to this, 12:1, don't conform to this world, but be transformed, right, by the renewing of your mind. And even though I didn't know how Bear was going to make it through, my faith in God, that's what got me through. Even when I was having doubt, my faith was bigger. Even, again, having the doubt, my faith was bigger than my doubt. So I kept moving forward. And I remember it was Sunday night, and I was debating, do I go to work tomorrow? You know, my son's in the hospital. Should I even go to work? I mean, I don't know what to do. I can't leave. I mean, in my mind, I've got to be there all the time. And so, but I remember looking out, and it's another moment in my life where God spoke to me clearly. I was looking out of the window at the hospital and God said, go to work. He's going to be okay. And so I went to work, and I came back every day. We stayed at the hospital for 4 weeks. Man, what a life that was in of itself. The long 4 weeks. Luckily, my bosses were able to find a job in Lubbock for me, that I was able to just work in Lubbock. And anyway, I mean, I held on to that truth. I held on to the word that God gave me, go to work, he's going to be okay. And so I kept going forward, even though it was tough. I don't know how I'm doing this, but I kept moving forward. So why tell you that story? I mean, a little bit of Elijah and a little bit of me. Why tell you that story? Well, because it's my story. It's all I got, right? It's my story. It's the only one I know to tell, and I can tell in detail. So what's your story? You know, what's your story? Maybe you have a story. Maybe you're walking in a story right now. A significant moment in your life could be happening right now. Are you moving forward with faith? You're like, no, I give up. How is God, maybe you're in the middle of a faith-building story, how is God shaping you? And here's the question, are you allowing him to? Are you allowing him to shape your story, shape the outcome? And are you believing where he's leading you? Jeremiah 29:11, this is a very popular verse, but we don't read verse 12 and 13 very often. But it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for well-being and not for trouble, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13, you will look for me and find me. When? When you look for me with all your heart. Yeah, God's got plans for us. He's got plans for each and every one of us. Plans to prosper us, plans for well-being, plans for hope, a future. But it takes our part. When we've got to look after him with all of our heart and walk in that. That's faith, seeking after God and then finding him when we don't know the outcomes. It's seeking after God in all circumstances, in all things, seeking, looking, finding God, intentional about it. Believing God is all in control. Faith is moving forward even in the face of doubt. I want to read one more story. Mark 9. Verse 14. And I'll explain why after I read it. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding. I'm sorry, it's chapter 9, verse 14. So when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. And one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I be with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him, or have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So even though the father said he believes, he prays that God helps him in his unbelief, in the face of doubt. In other words, in the face of doubt, help me in my unbelief. The parts where he is doubting, he wants God leading him through the times of unbelief. So again, whatever your story is, whatever story you've had or what you're walking through right now, what are those areas of unbelief that you got to say, God, you're in control. I'm going to keep walking forward. I don't know what the outcome is, God, but man, my faith is strong and I'm going to keep walking forward. Elijah didn't have any doubts. He said, God, show him who you are. Boom! Fire. Show him who you are. He prayed, God answered, fire came straight down. And so my prayer for a deposit of faith in each of you, me, all of us, a deposit of faith this morning that it would rise up to where worry leaves, doubt leaves, and faith surpasses, and we just keep going. Amen? And we say this all the time, application makes all the difference. So how do I do that? How do I walk forward when I don't know how, when I don't know where I'm going? How do we do it? Well, prayer, first and foremost. And I'm not saying not some willy-nilly prayer. It's like, God, please help me as I go through this. I don't know how to do it. Please help me, God. With your head down low. No, passionate prayer. So, God, I believe you're leading me through this. I don't know how, but God, you're going to take me there. And I'm believing it. Passionate. Not willy-nilly, but intentional. Believing. God, I don't help me in my unbelief, but God, keep me going. Because that's what I did 4 years ago. Intentionally getting in the Word. What did we just read in Jeremiah 29:13? You will look for me and find me when you look for me with all your heart. So being intentional, not just like, okay, I'm going to do my 5-minute devotional real fast. Okay, cool. No, being intentional. God, I want to seek you and find you. I want to seek you with all my heart. I'll get in the Word. Read it. Be intentional about it. What we're doing this morning, stick around after we're done. Talk to the men at your tables. This is where I'm struggling. This is what I need help with, my unbelief. This is my story right now. How am I going to get through? And then doing life with one another. As we do, we go to life group. We do life with one another. Amen? We stick together because we're all going through something at some point. It's just, that's life. But God, what did God, James say? Consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kind, because for it builds our faith and perseverance. So I don't know what you're going through, what areas of doubt you have, but I do know that through faith and believing, God is here to lead you through the doubt to the other side. So faith is moving forward even in the face of doubt. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you for your truth and your word. God, thank you for the story of Elijah that we didn't really talk much of the rest of his life. God, what a powerful man on fire that he was. God, but the fact that he led that life that he had because of the faith he had in you. Because he believed without a shadow of a doubt that you were God, that you were going to provide no matter what, that you were leading him to you through his life for your glory. So God, Elijah was no different. He was no different than one of us. He did what he was called to do for your purpose. So God, I pray this morning that each and every one of us seeks after you and finds our purpose and goes and does even more extravagant things in our life, God. As Jesus said, even greater things that we are able to do through your Spirit. So, Father, I pray right now for an anointing and a deposit of faith on each and every one of us this morning as we walk through life, as we go through life, as we go through the day, as we go home to our families, as we talk to the other men, as we just do life, God, I pray that we, just a deposit of faith to just move forward even when we might be doubting. God, you're powerful. We love you. Thank you for your glory, God. We pray in your name. Amen.